done for you. Amen. How many are thankful for those people who told you about what Jesus has done for you? Amen. And let's be one of those people. Amen. Let's be one of those folks today. Praise God. Dad, praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day to you. I've got some things to share with you, and we'll dismiss the boys and girls first as they head back that way to hear about the Lord. We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 17 and hear about his message to us today. To us today, Proverbs chapter 17, Father's Day. You know the national flower for Father's Day, the dandelion. Because the more you knock it down, it always keeps coming back. That's the national Father's Day flower. Maybe you got a few of them around your house. But I'd like to take a look at one verse in particular right now, and we'll look at many others as we go along. But Proverbs chapter 17, if you have it, and you're able to stand with me to read it, Proverbs 17, verse number 6. Verse number 6 is what we're going to look at today. Proverbs 17 and verse number 6. If you have that, would you read that out loud with me this morning? Proverbs 17, 6. Let's begin. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Thank you very much. You may be seated. We were in a crisis some years ago, and now we're seeing it. If you watch the news at all, we're seeing the fruit of that crisis. And what is the crisis I'm talking about? I'm talking about a home in America where there's no father of any kind. One in four homes in America have no father of any kind. These children, if left on their own, are five times more likely to live in poverty or commit crime, nine times more likely to drop out of school, and 20 times more likely to serve time in prison. Unless something changes and something happens to them. These are statistics that are on average in homes in America. If one in four American children grow up in homes without the formative law and order that involves what a father who provides, common sense tells us that this absence of law and order is going to manifest itself in society, and don't we see it today? Have you seen what's going on out there in Los Angeles or in other parts of the country, New York City, where destruction and riots are going on simply because maybe of disagreements, but are being stoked with the fire of, I believe, of discontent and even hate. And people are getting hurt. People are getting hurt. The point is this. We need homes with fathers who are godly. And by the way, a home that doesn't have a godly father like mine was needs men to step up and say, we'll take some responsibility to help. That's where we're at. And by the way, that's where we've been. And now we're seeing the manifestation of it in such a sad and horrific way as we look in the headlines. God has put in the heart of a child to delight and find honor, the Bible says, in his or her dad. So what does God emphasize that fatherhood is assigned and responsible for in the lives of his children? What is it that he should follow through with? Well, that's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. The ingredients in a father that a child can glory in. The ingredients in a father that a child can glory in. That's what we want to look at this morning. In Proverbs 17, you might say, well, I don't have kids in the home. Guess what? There's still others around you can impact, grandkids perhaps, or those nearby. But God wants to use you, sir. And he wants to tell us how to do that today. So before we go any farther, would you bow with me and I'll share ingredients in a father that a child can glory in. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your example, dear Lord. And as we live in a world where things don't always work out the way you have modeled them for, yet your wonderful hand and love and grace can intervene and can change the path that statistics say, and only because of you, God, only because of Christ. And I pray today, help us to see that and how to employ that into the life of our families. May you get the glory, Lord, for all things said and done, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us, first of all, let me share this with you. Joshua 24, let's go there. Joshua 24, and take a look, that well-known verse, worn out, but man worn out for good. Joshua 24, verse number 15, take a look. You might have this verse on your wall or on your desk or somewhere. But here's what it says, Joshua 24, I'm looking at verse number 15. This is Joshua speaking to the children of Israel, the people of Israel. He says this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Number one I want to share with you this morning is that children glory in the leadership of their fathers. Children glory in the leadership of their fathers. You might say, well, my dad wasn't a leader, but this is part of what an ingredient of a father does that is godly. He leads them. What did Joshua lead his family to do? Well, he makes it pretty clear there, doesn't he? We will serve the Lord. Here's some things that God says he wants dad to lead in. The home needs dad to lead them, number one thing, to Jesus Christ, to Jesus Christ. Would you turn with me to the book of Acts, the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 10 is where we want to go. Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at two verses that describe a man who was not a Christian, but he sought what God wanted. He sought the Lord, and God in his grace answered his call and answered with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take a look in Acts chapter 10. The man we're looking at, his name is Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. He ordered men. He was a leader in the band and so forth. A great man in where he lived. He had servants. He was a wealthy man. And yet, one thing he didn't have the Lord Jesus as his Savior. The Bible says he prayed regularly and was answered by God. Take a look at verse number 24. God answered his prayer with someone who could give him the gospel. And that man's name was Peter. Peter, by God's grace, was led to him. Called to come and visit with him. And here's what the Bible says. Verse 23. Cornelius and Peter meet up, and here's what the Bible says. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. And listen to this. An unsaved man, and called together his kinsmen and near friends. Hey folks, somebody's coming to our house tomorrow and you're not going to want to miss it. Somebody's coming out and they're going to share with us something, a message from God, and I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it. And by the way, Dad, that is the way we should be with Jesus Christ. Amen. There's something about Jesus, son, daughter, you need to know. Turn with me to Acts, look at verse number 33. Verse number 33, we see what happened after they heard the gospel of Christ, that Jesus came, that he was buried, that he rose again. Jesus, the Son of God, paid the price for sin. And all who put faith and trust in him can have everlasting life, just like he told his disciples, just like he told Cornelius here. Verse number 33, immediately therefore, the Bible says, I sent to thee, Cornelius, and hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Dad, be a witness to your kids. Amen. Be a witness to your family. The home needs dad. Acts chapter 16, go a few pages back. Continue going. Acts chapter 16. Another time, this is later on in the ministry of Paul. Bible says he was in prison all night, yet he and his companions, they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Bible says, and an amazing thing happened, an earthquake happened. Has anybody ever been in an earthquake before here? I've never been in one, but man, I'll bet it was not fun. It was a bit shook up, as they say. And yet, God protected everybody. At the end of the night, no one was killed. But the jailer at the jail, he had heard Paul, he'd heard Silas telling about the Lord, singing about his praises, and then just praying and asking God for help and giving the gospel out. And he said, how can I get to know this God? Take a look at verse number 30. The Bible says, and he brought them out, that is the jailer, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, he wanted to know Christ as Savior right now, right now. By the way, Dad, you need to know Christ as Savior before you can tell somebody else. Amen? If you don't know the Lord, today is the day to know Him. You can't forget this day. Your born-again day is on Father's Day. You'll never forget it. But if you don't know Him, would you call on Him today? But notice what this guy did. He went home and he took Paul and Silas with him and others that might have been there, and he brought them to his house. Look at verse number 34. Let me start in verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. By the way, who brought Paul and Silas to his house? The jailer did. Dad did. Dad said, we've been looking for this all along. Everybody, come on, gather around and hear the gospel like I heard it. Dad, the first and best place you can be a soul winner is right at home. Right at home. By the way, we're talking about dads, but you know, moms can do that too, amen? And dads. The gospel witness should be shared at home. The home needs dad to lead them to Christ. The home needs dad to lead them to the Bible. The Bible. Have a compulsion, Dad, to daily be in the Word of God. It's got to be a habit, because when you don't do it, what happens? There's something in your back of your mind say, what did I forget today? Oh man, I missed the Word of God. Let's get back in the Bible today. If you haven't read the Word of God alone today yet, would you do it, Dad? Would you do it? And not just today, but tomorrow and every day. The Bible is a spiritual food. We can't spiritually be strengthened without it. If you want to neglect it, what is the old saying? 7 days without God makes one weak. 7 days without God's word makes one weak. Have a compulsion. Make it a part of your daily routine and part of your life. Have a conviction from God's word. Whatever I read in the Bible, I'm going to strive to do. What I see in the Bible, I desire and want to do what He says. The old song puts it this way, I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. This book, it'll take all our lives just to learn what we can. But praise God, when we get to heaven, we're going to learn a lot more. Amen. But He says, get started down here. Get started down here. Learn of Me. Have a conviction. Have a cheer through God's word. Psalm 119. Let's take a look there. Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible. Take a look at verse 162. Psalm 119, have a cheer, have a joy in the Word of God. Hey, praise God, the Bible is something to be enjoyed, amen? There are times when it's bitter to us because it tells us, it shows us, man, there's something wrong going on, we've got to change that. But most of the time, it's comfort, it's joy, it's a blessing. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 162, would you read it with me, please? I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Is the Bible like that to you? Is it a treasure in your house? Or is it something that gets lost and we have to go searching for all the time? Do you love the Word of God? Is it a joy to you? I rejoice at thy word, Dad. Make it a joy. By the way, if it's a joy to you, it can be a joy to your kids. It can be a joy to your kids as they see, man, he seems to really love that thing. I wonder if there's something about it. Well, there is if you obey it and honor it. By the way, mom, wives, God has set aside the father to lead, but there are times when the wife or the mother must lead. A couple of reasons for that. The father is not present in the family. When I was growing up, my dad was out of the house, and I've shared that story with you, and I'm not going to bore you again. But that didn't mean that we couldn't learn from God's word at our house. And my mother made sure we're going to. It's kind of like my wife says to our kid, you're doing it. You're doing it. You don't get an option, you're doing it. And there were times we had devotions and prayer. After, in between times, she worked herself to the bone to make sure we had a roof over our head and things like that. So I praise God for my mom and the hard work that she did. Her desire was to make sure we had a developed heart for God. If there's no father or husband in the home, mom, that is an opportunity. It is part of what God has given you to do. It's not the ideal. It may not even be the right at the point, but God has given to you an opportunity to share Christ and the Word of God. The other is this. You are married. You have a father. Yeah, there is a husband in the home, but he is not saved. And he is not spiritually where he needs to be. So here's what you do, mom. You don't say, well, guess what? Because you don't want anything to do with God, I'm going to do something. You know what God tells you to do, ma'am? Ask his permission. Ask him. Are you opposed if I open up the Bible with my family? Is it okay if I share this with our kids? Hey, what's the old saying? You catch more flies with honey. And I don't know if that's true or not. Usually bees come around, but not flies. The point is this, follow through what God says. We see some examples of this in the Bible. 2 Timothy, let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, take a look. Second Timothy chapter 1. By the way, all this is predicated by going to the Lord and saying, Lord, would you have me to do this? Would you give me wisdom and strength to do this? Always seeking God's will. Verse number 5 in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to Pastor Timothy. This is a pastoral epistle, and he shares with him, I remember you growing up. I remember seeing you as a young lad and knowing your family. Here's what he says. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Who's missing in that verse? Thy father. Yeah, he's not there. Now, we don't know much about his dad. We don't know anything about him, just what we know of his name, possibly a Greek man, but obviously not spiritually involved in his family. And yet God used his grandmother and his mother to point him to Christ. We know this because take a look at verse 15 in chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Well, let me start with verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hey, praise God. He's provided a way for every child to hear about the Lord, but that requires some things from the parents. And Dad, it starts with you, and if not the dad in the home or the need of it, and the father gives permission, then mom, you may continue with that, sharing God's word. But the truth of the matter is, God wants every child to hear about Jesus. Amen. Every child. Why do we have Vacation Bible School when so many others seem to be not doing anything like that anymore? Because we still believe that every child in Eaton Rapids needs the gospel. Every child. Every home. Every home. But we're asking God, would you help us to reach some kids and thereby perhaps reach their parents too? Whatever the Lord leads, we need to be sharing the gospel. Children glory in the leadership of their fathers. Number two, children glory in the love of their fathers, in the love of their fathers. Of course, God, our Heavenly Father, is the best example. The Bible gives much insight on how God loves us. Would you turn with me to Jeremiah, the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 31. And take a look at verse number 3. Jeremiah chapter 31. And we'll read this one together, please. Jeremiah 31, verse number 3. If a father's love is to follow God, then a father's love is to be tenacious. Tenacious. Continuous. Without any break. Verse number 3. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Let's read it together. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Love. Love. The Bible says God loves his people with an everlasting love. Again, if you look at the headlines today, man, they need God's love today, don't they? Israel. They're in dire straits, and yet, again, if everybody just keeps their hands off, they'll take care of things. But God loves them. By the way, if you know Christ as your Savior, you got that same kind of love. Amen? You got that same kind of love, an everlasting love. And dads, Bible says you need to have a love like that for your kids. For your kids. When they disappoint you. When they fail you. When they don't want anything to do with you. And sadly, it's where some people are. But God says, if you follow my example, love them. Love them. By the way, be the man that they can love back. You can't determine their decision on that, but you can be the man that the Bible says can be loved back. A father's love is tenacious. A father's love is tough. Tough. Proverbs 13, let's go there. Proverbs 13. Take a look at verse number 24, Proverbs 13. And verse number 4. 24, I'm sorry, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, if you don't understand the Bible's definition or interpretation of discipline and correction, you might look at that and say, man, God's telling dads to beat their kids to death. That's not what he's telling you. But he is saying that discipline and correction is necessary to love your kids. Necessary to love them. The Bible tells us, he that loveth his child or loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. What does that involve? Well, it starts with verbal instruction about God's plan for their life. You know, God loves you. He put you in our family so that, number one, you could hear about Jesus as your Savior, that you could learn how to live for him. That's part of why you're here. It involves to calmly stop sin and correct swiftly, calmly. Right, Dad? We're known for our calmness, aren't we? Some of us are. Some of us not so much. But God says when he instructs us, when he corrects us, he does it out of a loving heart. It involves monitoring other influences in and out of the home. In and out of the home. What's going on? Let's find out. By the way, Dad, you own everything in your home. Did you know that? That gives you the right to take a look at what's going on in the bedroom where they're for hours doing something or not doing something. You have that right. You're the dad. That doesn't mean you hate your child, even if they don't like it. But you're there to monitor and make sure that Satan, who wants them so dearly, doesn't get at least a finger hold in the home. By the way, do it in love. In love. Be an example of joyful dedication to church attendance. Oh man, it's Sunday morning. Hurry up, let's go. Is that joyful dedication? Or is that, man, we don't want to look like we're not coming today. No, the Bible says we ought to enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that we have a place to meet and hear the Bible and meet with other people who want to do the same. Thank you, Lord. Instead of considering what bad things might happen, anticipate and joyfully meet with God's people. And plan times for work and for play. For work and for play. Jesus is very, very busy. If you read the Gospels, you read about Jesus always seemingly around multitudes of people. But every once in a while, the Bible says he would go out into the wilderness. He would go upon a mountain, whatever, spend time to pray, or get away and take his disciples with him to kind of get away from some of the hardness of life and the demands that life can have. And yet he, as God, of course, knew the best thing to do. And Dad, you and I need to take times for work and for play. And you might think, oh, I'm preaching to myself, brother. God gave us a second chance. I guess a seventh and eighth chance, I guess is what it is. Not second, seventh and eighth chance to try and do it right. And we're finding that that at an older age, it's not as easy as it used to be. But a little more wisdom is sprinkled in there with our ingredients too. Pray for God to help you, Dad, to love. The Bible says a father's love is not only tenacious, it's not only tough, but a father's love is tender. Would you turn with me again to the New Testament? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. A father's love is tender. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, take a look. Verse 10 is where we want to start. Verse number 10 and following says this in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. Says this, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica and sharing with them how we cared for you in such a great, in such a way. And this is how he described it. We behaved ourselves among you unblameably. Verse 11, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. A father's love is tender. 1 John chapter 4 put it this way about our heavenly Father. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. A father's love is tender. We shouldn't leave it all up to our wives to take that part of it. They should know what it's like to have a loving hug from Dad. They should know what it's like to hear kind words from us. Amen. They should know what it's like to have a dad who loves them. And by the way, if you see some young people who don't have that, ask the Lord to use you to help them. As I was growing up as a teenager, God used men in my life to say, listen, this is the way to behave like a man. You're not doing that. You look me in the eye, son. Look me in the eye. Remember one guy in particular, he said, Mark, look me in the eye, because that's what men do. And then he shared some very kind words with me as well. You know, the truth of the matter is, all of us could use an encouraging helper alongside. Even if you're doing it all right, praise the Lord, there's those out there who want to continue to encourage that. Amen. That's what we should be doing for one another. Father's love. Children glory in the love of their fathers. And number three, children glory in the loyalty of their fathers. The loyalty of their fathers. 1 John 5, 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Dad, be loyal to your family in heaven. Be loyal to them, our Heavenly Father. Our will is to submit to God's will, not the other way around. God, here's what I'm planning. Would you hurry up and get it, make it happen? No, God says, listen, if you do it, follow my plan, it's better. Our plans are submit to God's plans for our children, for our children. I always wondered who the sons were with dad and sons, you know, the plumbing, the electrical, the dad and sons. How did he get those guys to follow along? But the truth of the matter is, God has a plan for each one of us and for our children. And ask the Lord to show that to you and your kids, and your kids. If your children are saved, guess what? They got a Holy Spirit too, amen? They have a Holy Spirit too. And God wants to speak to them. God, how can I help them fulfill your will in their life? Be loyal to your family in heaven. Be loyal to your family at home. Ephesians, let's go there. Chapter 5 is where we'll look. Ephesians chapter 5. Who's your family at home? Well, it starts with that very first relationship you had that started your family. Verse 25, would you read it with me? Only the dads, only the guys, only the guys. Verse 25, let's read it together, guys. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you love your wife? Your children know. Your children know. The Bible says the kind of love that Jesus has for us is the kind of love that our wives deserve. Whether they deserve it or not, God says, that's what they should get. That's what they should get. That's what I want you to do. Go to chapter 6, look at verse number 4, please. Let's all read this verse together. Ephesians 6, verse 4, please. Let's read that together. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Bible tells us that we are to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition, not of what our grandfathers taught us or what so-and-so, but what God says, what we know he tells us to live for. Be loyal to your family at home. And dad, number 3, be loyal to your family at church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, would you go there with me? Be loyal to your family at church. This is a place God's called us to be. Gather together. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together. So we might as well try to do something for the Lord while we're here. Amen. Might as well make it worthwhile. And God says the way we approach the church and the way we look at it makes a difference. It needs to be a family. Verse number 12 is where I'm at. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is who? Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the one unit. God says, I want to reach Eaton Rapids, Lansing, Charlotte, Diamonddale, wherever we're from, that gather here together. I want to reach people through you and be a body of Christ. Be a local, visible church that reaches out to share Christ with other people. Children glory in the loyalty of their fathers. Can you be a father that your children glory in? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You say, wait a minute. I got a dad who I wouldn't want to glory in. Man, he was a rat. Well, I'd like to stack your dad up against mine and see how they turned out. My dad literally broke every one of the Ten Commandments, literally every one of them. But you know what? I can still honor him by honoring God. Not because of who he was, but because of who God is. Amen? Our Heavenly Father. He's the one that gets the honor as we obey what his word says. You can love them, strive to love them and bring them and pray for them. Prayed a lot for my dad, and it wasn't just my prayers, I know, but eventually he got saved. A lot of you people have met him. He was still rough around the edges, but man, he loved the Lord, and he told all his family who hated him for it. He told them all how to get saved. And none of them have turned to Christ yet, but we're still praying for them too. Man, if he can turn a guy like Bill McAuschwitz to Christ, he can turn others too. Be loyal to your family. Children glory in the loyalty of their fathers. I took a piece of softened clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past. The bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it, still it bore, but I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when years were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. What you do today, Dad, matters. Ask God for that wisdom to accomplish his plan, his will. Children glory in the leadership of their fathers. Be the man, the example God has you to be. Children glory in the love of their fathers. It's not all mom. It's not all somebody else who has to love their kids. In fact, God says it's squarely on your shoulders. Children glory in the loyalty of their fathers. Loyalty to the Lord, loyalty to your family, and loyalty to your Christian family. God wants you to be a father that children can glory in. And you can be. It may start today by asking God to help you. Change this, move that. Perhaps you need simply to receive Christ and get started on the road that God says he can help you with. Whatever the need, would you ask his help? And moms and young people, let me tell you, if 1 in 4 are struggling in homes without a father, there's got to be some who are struggling here today. Do you know, first of all, let me tell you this. God loves you. God loves you. And don't be angry or hateful of your parents. Don't do that. You'll waste time in your life. Waste it. But turn to Christ. Ask him to help you. Be the man, the woman he wants you to be. I'll tell you what, God wants to answer that prayer. God's ready to answer it. Heavenly Father, we know you want us to be what you would have us to be, Lord. Now I pray, show us specifically the things you have in our lives that perhaps need to change or to be strengthened, Lord, emphasize more, or to be done away with, Lord. Things we've been doing that just simply are not helping. We pray for your help. I pray for us to look in our hearts today. I pray for our dads, Lord. May this be a time where we commit to you of being that father that our children can glory in. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand with me? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just going to ask in just a moment the organ to softly play the song we'll sing. When she softly begins to play that, if God's spoken to you, would you respond? You can do it right where you're at, or you can make it a big deal and step out and pray and ask in the front. But whatever the Lord leads, would you do it right now? Make this a place where we're dedicated. We're dedicating ourselves today to being the mother, the father, the child, the young person that the Lord would have and no other. As she begins to play, would you respond as she does that?